Good morning, and welcome to yet another episode of Pop It Off with Phil, the podcast. Happy Tuesday, co-host, and welcome back for another week. I just want to say thank you for rocking with me, even through this global pandemic, this shelter in place, this stay at home, this quarantine phase. I'll be honest with you, admittedly, it's been difficult for me to maintain my regular schedule of recording Tuesday mornings. I still try to record on Tuesday. I definitely try to publish on Tuesday, but without having a place to go, because I normally record in my car on my commute, it's been difficult just because the work day is different. The work week looks different in terms of how things are scheduled, in terms of how things are planned. So the day sometimes gets away from me, but I just appreciate you for, you know, rocking with me. I'm still trying to find balance. I have a great book that I want to read that I haven't really been able to get into, because, you know, I don't always stop work at 4:30 like I normally would, because I don't always start work at 7:30 like I normally would. It's just a very different atmosphere, a different dynamic. And I just appreciate you for being patient, and I'm going to get on a regular schedule. Goodness, I can't get my words out today. I'm going to get on a regular schedule because I don't know how long we're going to be in this space. I do know that I'm going to be here a little while longer, despite what our governor is doing this upcoming Friday. And that's pretty much what this podcast is about. Just my thoughts about what's going on, particularly in my state, and how it's affecting me emotionally. And the stories that I'm hearing from other people throughout the country, stories that I'm hearing from family members, not necessarily that have directly impacted my family, but from family members, people who work in the medical community. I have a lot of family that works in the medical community. So I think that my thought process is not different from others, but I'm not a crier, but I am an emotional person. I am tied and tethered to people and things. I feel very deeply. And so I think that that's why this is affecting me in ways that it might not be affecting other people. But nonetheless, so in Georgia, the governor has decided that when the shelter in place order ends on April 30th, that he's not going to extend it. And he has basically declared that he's going to begin to reopen the state starting this Friday, with some small businesses. Trump is also, you know, issued this whole three-stage plan of reopening the country. So I guess in alignment with that, that's why Kemp is doing what he's doing. But he's opening places that make it almost impossible to distance socially. Barbershops, beauty salons, nail salons, massage parlors, bowling alleys, movie theaters. I mean, I don't know about you, but I find it very difficult to create a responsible, respectable, and safe distance from the person providing that service. So that means that not only am I endangering myself, I'm endangering the person who's doing the work. But if your job opens back up, then you, and they're open for business, you know, regular hours or limited hours or whatever the hours are, you as an individual who may have been eligible for unemployment certainly can't apply for it then, because you're not technically in a situation where your job is closed. Like, you have a way to earn a wage. So it's just another reason why people who are disenfranchised, who are poor, and who are disproportionately affected by negative happenings in the world are being screwed. And no one really seems to care, because it seems like people are so ready to get back to what it is they want. Listen, I really want a haircut. I know I talked about it last week, but I legitimately sent my barber a tip. I sent him a tip because he is a person who works in the service industry and he is suffering financially. I know that he is. You know what I'm saying? Like, that doesn't necessarily mean that he can't afford to pay his bills. That doesn't mean that he can't, you know, do, you know, take care of his, you know, his said responsibilities. But he's a barber full time. And when he's not in the shop, he's working on sets. And well, all the sets have been shut down. So I'm still working. I'm in a good position and I'm very grateful for that. So I figured the least that I could do is send him something to say, hey, bruh, I understand what might be going on. I'm blessed. Here's a blessing to you. You know what I'm saying? I want a haircut really bad. I'm dying to get a haircut, but I'm not willing to die for a haircut, which is why I'm still going to stay at home. And I really do hope that my company, who that's been pretty great throughout this whole process, doesn't begin to create an expectation for me or us as a workforce just because the country or our state is seemingly getting back to normal. And that's what my fear is that once we begin to reopen these spaces and places, that companies who have been fair and lenient and gracious in terms of how they've been treating their employees will begin to relax those expectations or create greater ones for us to be present. And I'm just not comfortable, nor do I feel safe getting back into the world in this way so soon. Mind you, 3 weeks ago, when we got our first shelter in place orders, which we were behind the curve of some other places that were having some difficulties in terms of the amount of cases, as well as the amount of casualties or deaths or losses. Kemp said that he was unaware that a person who was asymptomatic could even pass the virus on. So that means that he didn't realize how serious it was from the onset. Yet he's now, just 3 weeks later, basically saying, let's reopen the state, but let's start off small. But he's not opening banks or the mall. You know what I'm saying? He's opening places that most certainly require you to be up on a person in order to offer the service. Like, there's no way a beautician, a nail tech, a barber can be 6 feet away from their customer. Like, it just doesn't work that way. You know what I'm saying? And so you're endangering the customer, you're endangering the barber, and then in turn, that person receiving the service and that person providing the service is also endangering their households. And nobody sees a problem with this. Nobody seems to care, but we're saying that it's not a political move and it's based on. So what is it based on? You know, it certainly isn't based on the need or the care of your people, that your constituents, the people that you were sworn in to serve. Like, it has nothing to do with us. Somebody posted something which I thought was funny. Why don't you and your family go to all of these places that you've opened or reopened and report back in 5 to 7 days or 7 to 10 days, whatever the normal incubation period is, and let us know how you're doing. If you're still negative, if you don't have any complications. Because that's the thing. Everybody who's pushing for all these things to happen are people who are probably not going to immediately jump back into the world anyway. You know, it's like the conversation that I've had with every healthy person about the gym. Like, I understand. I do understand. I don't think the gym is nearly as important as some other places that people would like to be open. Because to be honest with you, all of the people that I've been hearing complaining about the gym are people who are pretty athletic people who not going to the gym wouldn't bother them. The people who, like a really good friend of mine who's been kind of doing the push-up challenge with me, who set out this year basically like, I got to do something different. He's maintained doing something different. And he's still losing weight. You know what I'm saying? He's not complaining about the gym not being open. That doesn't mean that he doesn't miss the gym and doesn't want to get back into it and doesn't want to lose momentum, but he's trying to figure out a way. So it's not even like these, it's not even like people who really were going to the gym because they were really trying to change their lives. It's all these physique-based people or fitness models that's like, oh, I can't live without the gym. It's like, really? Like, really? And the argument was always, well, I'm healthy, so I won't catch anything. Says who? Like, I understand that going to the gym does mitigate being sick. You know, it does decrease your chances because you do have a healthy immune system. But this is something different. You know what I'm saying? I know people who go to the gym who still get the flu or have gotten the flu. Now, they may not have a long recovery period because their bodies are healthy on the inside, healthy on the outside, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, there's no real immunity from bacterial and airborne viruses. Like, you still have it, you still can catch them. And then it's just frustrating, y'all. It's really, really frustrating because just this morning I was listening to Stacey Abrams talk. And she was saying that the state of Georgia is number 14 in the highest infection rates. And Albany, Georgia is number 4 in the most deaths that have been recorded in the world. And that we have the 7th slowest testing rate. I guess in the country. So we're high on lists that we don't need to be high on and low on lists that we should be higher on. Yet you want to reopen the state. And the same thing is kind of going on in my home state of Michigan. It's like people are, you know, went to the governor's house with all this protest about all of these rights and liberties that they feel like they should have access to because they don't give a damn about the people. So that's the thing. It's not even necessarily the people who have to work these jobs that are complaining about not working their jobs. Now, granted, getting unemployment is better than not getting anything at all, but you're definitely not getting what you're worth or what you could earn if you were actually working. But if you have a family to raise, like, you have so many other considerations. Those aren't the people protesting. It's people who feel entitled to certain services. So if the store is open and nobody works there, then what's the good? You assume that just because the salons are opening that there's going to be a bunch of people working at the salons, and then you're going to be agitated and aggravated by that because the salon is open, but your normal nail tech or your normal hairdresser isn't there because they're not ready or they don't feel safe or they don't feel comfortable or they have families that they're concerned about. I just really wish that we lived in a world that was better. You know, I mean, for us to say that we're the best country in the world is shameful at this point because nothing we do seems to serve the people who live in the country. You know what I'm saying? It always seems to serve a very small percentage of people. And I guess if I went to other countries, they probably would say similar things. Like, there are probably things that they wish were different or things that they wish were more like the U.S. But from my vantage point, especially those countries that are dealing with very high infections and very high death rates, they're not necessarily behaving in this way. And I do believe that there's better leadership in other states, like the state of Illinois, like the state of New York, you know, who have governors and people running their country who actually are concerned about the people. You know, I think that Governor Cuomo doesn't necessarily get enough credit for all that he's done in New York, and it's just a very hard place to control. Yes, there's been a lot of deaths. Yes, there's a lot of things going on there, but I think considering what's going on, he's doing the best that he can, and he really does have the interest of his people at heart when he makes those choices and makes those decisions, you know, and he understands that it's hurtful and it's painful from an economic standpoint, but what really is more important? I have friends who live in the Bahamas and I've been talking to them and make sure they're okay. And they're on curfew Monday through Friday, but on the weekends, they're on a 24-hour shutdown. They can't leave their homes. And we're complaining because, you know, all we can do is go to the grocery store if we're choosing to do that because we really want haircuts. We really want to get our nails done. And, you know, it's just, it's very disheartening. And I don't necessarily want my podcast to be like, oh, woe is me. But it's just like, it's very difficult, you know, to stay positive. Like I've enjoyed this reset, and I'll be the first person to tell you that I happen to like me. So I enjoy my own company, and I'm not one of those people who's longing and pining to be out social media and all of these technological apps like Zoom and WhatsApp and Marco Polo and House Party have allowed me to stay relatively connected to family and friends and FaceTime. And so I'm not necessarily missing that connection because I can see people. Yes, I can't necessarily be near the people that I love, but it's definitely a sacrifice I'm willing to make because I don't want anybody to get sick, especially not at my hand. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that there's anything wrong with me, but of course no one does. So I'm not willing to put somebody else at risk that I love and that I care for just for a few moments of you know, a cocktail hour. It's just not that important to me. And I just wish other people felt the same way. I mean, do I want to get out of the house? Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely. It is festival season. Well, those festivals that have not been canceled. It's festival season. I had an opportunity to perform at Carnegie Hall this summer, or Memorial Day weekend, actually, which will likely be canceled or postponed or whatever the case is. So, you know, that's not happening. Although I do want Carnegie Hall to run me back my coins. I mean, there were things that were on the horizon for me as well that I'm not going to be able to participate in. I have a little cousin who's graduated from college. One of my really close friends who I was going to be a part of his senior recital is graduating from college, you know? So, I mean, there were things that I definitely wanted to be on the, that I wanted to be a part of. My goddaughter's turning one and being christened, or at least that was the plan. So there were things that I would have liked to do as well. Like, Lord knows I would love to take a vacation. I can't tell you the last time I've actually gone somewhere that I wanted to go and had a good time. So, like, I mean, there are definitely things that I wanted to do, but none of that is worth it if it's the last time or if I have to lose people along the way in a space that I can control it. You know, there's a lot of things we can't control in life. But there are some things that we can, and it seems like people are just willing to risk it all for a Sunday fun day type deal. Like, it's just whack, you know? I work for a company that is in the business of financial services. Anybody who knows anything about financial services, it's a people-facing company. That's how we stay in business. And it's financial services, which is, you know, life insurance and mutual funds. And obviously people are, you know, very protective of their money in this particular economy. So I stand to lose a lot, like a job, if things don't turn around. I'm fortunate that I work for a company that has been very, very progressive in the way that they've treated its employees and trying to create new policies, whether, I mean, most of them are temporary, but at least putting policies in place to help those individuals who need the extra help. You know, there's a big difference between an exempt employee and an hourly employee, or non-exempt employee and hourly employee, and their benefits. And so our company has really done a good job of putting things in place to make sure that those individuals can still do their jobs, but still maintain their households. And I think that's phenomenal. You know, we've been assured that because we've done well up until this point, that there's no looming layoffs or furloughs. And I'm very grateful for that. And I don't take that for granted. And I definitely have empathy for people who are not in that particular situation. But there's more that our government system should be able to do for individuals that pay their taxes and positively contribute to society when something is going on in the world that, one, we can't control, and two, that people in high places were aware of and didn't get ahead of. And I think that's the most frustrating part. We're being penalized for someone else's lackadaisical response to something that was very serious and has been very serious for months. And so when you look at it and you say, oh, well, only this amount of people died versus this, you know, that's literally the argument people are saying. Like, in a day, if 70 plus people die in one day, you know what I'm saying? Or over a weekend, you have over 500 something odd deaths. That's significant. Even if you're trying to compare it to the amount of people who might be in a particular place. You know what I'm saying? It's not like some major, it's not like something like 9/11 happened where it was this huge catastrophe that took a lot of lives. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's an isolated event that happened, or something like Katrina, where it's like, there was no way that this happened and a lot of lives weren't going to be lost. That's not this, you know what I'm saying? And so it's just frustrating the way that people are responding. And I'm pretty sure there might be some people who unfortunately haven't been able to work because of this, who would rather work and are willing to take that risk. But I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's restaurants I want to go to. I can't wait to sit down and go to a restaurant. I mean, I definitely want a haircut. I want to go to the mall and look around and window shop and not spend anything because I don't have any money for that. Like, you know, I'm tired of ordering shit on Amazon Prime. Like, I am, you know what I'm saying? But none of that is worth a drastic and massive loss of life that can be controlled. And I'm just frustrated by the whole thing. So I'm going to move on because I don't want to talk about that. But I do want to give you guys a heads up that I'm going to have a special guest on the podcast in the upcoming weeks. And it will be a familiar voice because obviously you won't be able to see their face. But I'll just give you a clue. They may have been in the First Ladies of Gospel, the Clark sister biopic. So that's all I'm going to say about that. I also plan on having one of my best friends on the show to talk about relationships, particularly relationships in the Black gay community, because that's what we can speak to because we're both gay Black men. So I'm looking forward to having him on to talk about that. Only because I'm trying to shift the paradigm. I think I've talked enough about death and gloom. So, and my frustration. I think we all get it. That's where we are. This is what I'll say, and I won't say anything more about that. If you have the ability to stay home and avoid being in public, especially if you are in the state of Georgia, please do so. If not for yourself, for someone else that doesn't have that choice or doesn't have that option. So if people are going to be forced to go to work, which means they're going to be forced to give up their unemployment benefits, at the very least, we can try to keep them safe by not being in their proximity. You know what I'm saying? Like, if people have to work, they have to work. But let's not just pretend like this last month hasn't happened and just kind of run back out into the world and do stuff like we normally would, thinking there's no real repercussions. So anyway, those two episodes are coming up pretty soon. I don't know exactly when, because I'm working with people's schedules, of course. I mean, just because people are quarantined don't mean they ain't working, don't mean they're not busy. So I'm looking forward to both of those. I'm sure that you will too. Please, 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 please go follow, like, share. If either of those things appeal to you, because I'll be talking about the movie, of course, and you have questions for that cast member, please definitely DM me on the Popping Off with Phil IG page. Same thing for if you have any questions or concerns or things that you would like to hear me talk about in the gay relationship love zone episode, because those are definitely ones that are coming up, and I'll kind of wait to kind of see what's going on in terms of your responses to determine when I'll actually post those shows or when I'll actually kind of plan to have those podcasts, like do those. No, I mean, it's not an interview. Well, I guess it is kind of an interview. Well, one of them is an interview, one of them is more like a talk back type deal. But whatever the case is, depending on what you're saying about it after you've listened to this episode, then I'll be able to have some good content to talk with those people. I've done a really good job of following a lot of the interviews of the cast member from the First Ladies of Gospel. And so I'm going to try to ask different questions that haven't necessarily been posed. Just to get a different perspective, but I just wanted to open that particular person up to a new demographic of people, my listeners, who are very supportive, and hopefully drum up some support for her. Obviously, we know it's a girl. It's about the Clark sisters. So drum up some support for her. And so I think it'll be really, really exciting, and I'm really, really ready. So that's all I'm going to say about that. I've rambled on enough. Stay safe. Stay in. Be empathetic to people who are in situations different from you. I'll say this again, like I said last week, if you know someone who works in the service industry, your particular person, there's no harm in sending them a little tip to let them know you're thinking about them. Cash App them, Zelle them, whatever the case is. Especially if you're in a situation where you haven't really lost a step. You may be inconvenienced because you're working from home, but you're still getting paid. Anyway, I love y'all for real. I'll talk to you later. Peace.